This podcast is a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to find out more.
Today on the show, it's the worst time of year, but we have to talk about it. I have to start looking for a sponsor for my 29th birthday, plus some thoughts on Matthew Perry and Friends, all that and more on 20th Century Boy, the show that does have a girlfriend. She just goes to a different school. You wouldn't know her. To 20th Century Boy. I don't have a name. Scratch the music. This happens way too frequently. Where, you know, this is a self-produced show. G'day, guys. It's Radio Mike, by the way. Let's cut to the, you know, to the pleasantries. I start every episode with a different name. Let's call this week, I'm Dr. Mike, right? Because now every week, if this is the first... I've said this many times, but if this is the first episode of my podcast you've ever listened to, this is the worst one to start with, because you must right now, you'd just be like, what is going on? What is Mike's show about? I heard good things or bad things about Mike's show, and this is either confirming or unconfirming those. Every episode I start with a name that's often a Mike-themed pun, but because this is an independent podcast that I produce myself, sometimes I just forget to come up with one, and then I literally realize it as the intro is playing. I'm like, oh, I don't have a name. And then I just like try to make one up on the spot. Sometimes I just forget. This time I forgot. Currently drinking a can of Dr. Pepper. So let's go with Dr. Mike. Let me have a sip. This is 20th Century Boy, by the way. Podcast about me, Radio Mike, a writer and producer from here in Australia, just making his way through life. It's the conversations you wish you were having about the stuff that no one else cares about. That's what this podcast is. Write in anytime, radiomikepod@gmail.com. Just DM me on Insta, however you want to get in touch. Just do it, right? And feel free to send in a name suggestion for next week. So I have one when I record next week. This episode might be a bit lighter, but often when I say that, they end up going longer anyway, just because this is, again, I'm in one of the busiest weeks of my life. I've got heaps on. I'm recording this on Tuesday night, which is Halloween, tonight, but I live in an apartment, so I'm not going to get any trick or treaters, but also Halloween isn't super big in Australia. It is getting much bigger, but I don't know if it's big around where I live. Tomorrow and Thursday, I've got a contract with a company that I'm producing a podcast for. Friday, I've got another freelance gig that day. And Saturday and Sunday, I actually go to Darwin for work. So I'm super, super busy. And I'm running off, you know, we did Hamish and Andy today. I was working yesterday. I'm running, you know, so like, I know it's the second episode back since I was away for 4 weeks and then two more weeks. But yeah, I'm running on fumes. So let's see how this week goes. I assume you guys just enjoy listening to me talk anyway. As for the Dr. Pepper, I talked about this. We did some, we've done some bonus episodes that will come out over the, on the feed for over the next few weeks, the world tour, which were supposed to happen when I was away, but now we're just doing them over the next few weeks, talking about my holiday in Europe. And I think I talked this week about my newfound obsession for Dr. Pepper, the American soda. Over in Europe, there was heaps and I got it like all the time. It was awesome. Now I'm obsessed with it. So before we left Europe, I actually ordered some from like USA Foods or something. This is not a sponsorship. I wish it was sponsored, and shipped like 30 cans of Dr. Pepper to my house. So I've just been drinking one a day and it's amazing. It's such a refreshing flavor. Again, this sounds like a sponsorship for either Dr. Pepper or USA Foods. It isn't. I'm just going to have another sip. Dr. Pepper's amazing. If you haven't tried it, try it. I think I'm done with cola. Not that this is any better for you, but like I think I don't like Coke as much anymore. I don't like Pepsi as much. I'm more of a Dr. Pepper guy and I'm fine with that. Anyway, it's not really on the list of stuff I wanted to talk about today. Did want to do plugs for the world tour. You can get the audio version on this feed, but you can also get video versions on the Patreon, as well as the Pat and Mike show, which is out every week with me and producer Pat. Just wanted to plug that here and thank our executive producer Patreons who are giving $20 a month to the show. Patreo Danny, Patreo Whitey, Patreo Kyle, and Patreo Jordan. And this week, we had two people sign up at the $4.50 tier, Patreo Erds and Patreo Christo. Thank you for signing up. Patreon.com/RadioMike. There is so much content in the back catalogue there for you to go and watch, listen to, etc. So definitely jump on the Patreon. It is $4.50. You get the Pat and Mike show each week, but there's a bunch of content up there for just a dollar. So if you can afford to give a dollar to the show every month, which isn't really much, then that would be awesome. Please consider doing that. Wanted to start off with a few responses from you guys from the week. As I said, you guys build the show, so ride into the show anytime. Let's do one of these.
All the write-ins that you sent in.
Sorry, I was just sipping some Dr. Pepper. It's all the write-ins, basically just a rebranded mailbag segment, which sometimes I start the show with. Got an interesting one from Radio Casey. Welcome to the Radio family. Thanks for writing in. Radio Casey just sent me an Instagram a few weeks ago, or maybe, months ago on the show. I talked about the new Spotify AI DJ feature, which basically is rolling. It's rolled out on Spotify where there's just an AI DJ and it'll just play a DJ mix for you. And every now and then this DJ that calls itself X goes, "Hey, what's up, Mike? It's DJ X. And now we're going to be listening to some of your favorites." And then it plays like, who did it play for me that I was like, I don't like this band at all? I can't remember who it was, but it was a band that I was like, I was indifferent to them. It's like, I know how much you love these guys. Anyway, I was basically bagging it. I think it's gotten better, but Radio Casey sends a picture saying, I guess Spotify AI DJ isn't that bad after all. It's recommended my acoustic cover of Eminem's Without Me, which is available on Spotify now, by the way, and it's played that for Radio Casey. So thanks for sending that in. Radio Discover Hip Hop. "Hey, Mike, just caught up to your ep on the Hilltop Hoods. Great ep and really cool to hear your thoughts. Hear thoughts from both you and Pat on the Hilltop Hoods. We did do an episode when I was away. We bulk recorded episodes. Did one where we talked a lot about the Hilltop Hoods, great Australian hip-hop band. Also love the next question, is podcasting the future of content? Great chat, man. Keep doing your thing." Thank you. Thank you, Radio Discover Hip-Hop. Radio Dave Lee Down Under, friend of the show. He says, "Oh my God, just started listening to your World Tour podcast. Lost it when you said you loaded your laptop with shit to do and didn't do any of it. I do the same every time, load up a ton of movies, prepare some work that I'm going to get done, never do any of it. Maybe watch like two movies." It is a lot like that. You get on a long haul flight, you pack your iPad or your laptop with 50 movies, you put 100 books on your Kindle, you download 80 podcasts and like three albums and you're like, great. I'm on this flight for 13 hours. I'm going to do all of this stuff. And then you get on the flight, most likely in economy, you're sitting there cramped and you're just like, fuck this. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm just going to try to sleep. I'm just going to try my best to sleep and look at that flight map thing that comes up at the flight that shows you how close you are to your destination. And for most of the flight, you're not close to your destination. That's kind of how it works. Well, for at least half the flight, you're not close to your destination. But that's what I ended up doing on the plane. No, I did actually watch a few movies on the plane, which I will get to later. But thanks, Dave Lee. Again, there's two world tours out. There's probably three or four more to go. There's going to be a full episode on Disneyland. So, yeah, stay tuned to the feed for that. And finally, from Radio Sean, welcome to the RF. "Mike, absolutely loved the Spider-Man video game talk and very funny hearing your Spider-Man head lore. Would love to hear more of your thoughts on the game if you have any more." Yeah, I was talking about the new Spider-Man game where in the game, like, you fight all these bad guys and you're, as Spider-Man, you're definitely killing them. Like, in the game, what you are doing to these people, there is no doubt in my mind in real life they would die. And Spider-Man, we all know, he's a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't kill people. But in the game, you just by the necessity of it being a game, you have to kill people. it's kind of funny. Have still been obsessed with Spider-Man. Oh, man, it's so good. I wish I could. I mean, I know it's like I'm lucky to have a PS5 because they're expensive and the games are expensive. But like, if you can play this game, play it. Like, the way you just ease between being Peter Parker and Miles Morales, the way it feels to go around the city, I've barely done any of the story mode. I'm literally just going around doing like side missions because it feels so good. Anyway, I talked about it last week. I probably won't do like an in-depth review or anything on YouTube, but I'm loving it. I could spend all day. I think I could literally spend 24 hours in a row. No, I could spend like 12 hours playing Spider-Man without a break, and I would absolutely love that. Did want to talk, and I'm sure you've heard it everywhere, but of course, the very, very sad and shocking news of Matthew Perry, most famous for playing Chandler in Friends, who died last week, age 54, really sad. And it was actually recently, well, maybe a year ago on this show, where I actually was talking about Matthew Perry because I read his book, Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. That's the name of the book. And the big terrible thing is his addiction issues. And I was beyond shocked to see this news. I saw it in my timeline and at first I didn't believe it, but then I realized that it was true. And, you know, I'm not going to go into like speculation around his death itself, but like I did speak very highly of him. I can't remember what episode it was, but if you search in the podcast Matthew Perry, I'm sure it will be labeled somewhere and will come up. But I played some excerpts from his audiobook, which I found really interesting about his takes on addiction and everything like that. I was really sad. It came so out of left field. And I think, I don't know how I felt about this. I think what I want to talk about is, you know, I heard some people on the radio on AM Talkback today actually being like, well, what's the big deal about Chandler from Friends? You know, I say, why is he making the news? He hasn't done much since Friends, and that show was, you know, 20 years ago. Why is he on the front page? Anyway, I think it is so, like, it is hard to define how culturally relevant and game-changing Friends was at the time of airing, but still today. I think, and a lot of people kind of put it down to, oh, it was, you were either a Friends person or a Seinfeld person, which I'm definitely both. I think both shows are so great for so many reasons. And they, to me, they certainly both were kind of like the biggest shows of their era, being sort of like late 90s. I mean, Friends kind of went into like 2004, I think. Seinfeld ended in 99 and started in 90. But they would certainly, when I think of growing up, the two kind of live action sitcoms I saw the most of on TV would have been Seinfeld and Friends. But it's obvious why Friends' legacy is just so strong. So is Seinfeld's, but in very different ways. And I'm not going to get into the whole Seinfeld-Friends debate. This is more about Friends, right? Friends as a show is so iconic and is still to this day such a comfort show for so many people, including me. Like, often Friends is just played in Australia on free-to-air TV, like just reruns of Friends. And you're just like, oh, great, Friends is on. I'll just put some episodes on while I clean the house or while I do other stuff. I'll just have it on as a background thing because it's so comfortable and familiar and it's such a cozy show in like the weirdest way. And you think of every single one of those six actors, main actors on that show, and they're all so iconic. So, and then they all had varying degrees of success outside of Friends. Like, of course, Jennifer Aniston probably is the most like commercially successful in terms of doing other acting projects after Friends, but they all have had, they're all still very like relevant people. Matthew Perry, as I said, when after I read his book, I realized he did a reboot of The Odd Couple. He was in 17 again with Zac Efron, but I think it's not even about what they've done since Friends. It's just that show was such an iconic part of so many people's lives, and people have watched and rewatched and just obsessed over that show. And Friends, I'm sure it had been done before. I mean, I'm certain it's been done before, but the way Friends incorporated almost like, and I'll loosely use this term, but like soap opera-esque elements, like the fact that there was like continuity and things that like cliffhangers and things that were kind of left hanging over episodes and love and breakups and all of that kind of stuff. I guess as opposed to Seinfeld, which was running concurrently, which was so much less about that. It was so much more, yes, there were things that carried through episodes, of course, but like it was so much more just about the episode, whereas Friends almost like had a narrative element that progressed as the show went on. And like How I Met Your Mother, which came later, which a lot of people labeled as a Friends clone, which it is, it was very similar in that. Like there was a story to tell here. And I think people just fell in love with how – I think Friends is just a really real and authentic show. Like you look at that show and you're like six people, new adults getting into their careers, working jobs, struggling with relationships, dating, work, the purpose of their life, all of the above, but just getting by through the support of their friends, you know, going to coffee shops, drinking coffee, talking about all their problems and, you know, living with housemates in your 20s, all of that stuff that kind of like everyone sort of experiences. And I think Chandler in particular, like, was such an icon of that show. Again, it's hard to even say there was one icon of that show. The ensemble cast, it was an ensemble cast and they were so iconic. But I always personally connected a lot with Matthew Perry. Like I think a lot of, like he was just a funny character, like such a sassy, sarcastic kind of guy. And I think Matthew Perry like really, really nailed that role. Funnily enough, he talks in that show about how when he read the script for Friends for the first time, which I think at the time was called Friends Like You or something like that, before he was cast in Friends, Matthew Perry, he did a few things, but before he was cast in Friends, Matthew Perry was a lead and he was contracted to this pilot called LAX 2194, which was a show about baggage handlers at LAX, the airport in 2194, and it was like aliens coming in and out and stuff like that. And he says in his book it was a really stupid show and he didn't want to do it. And because he was contracted to it, he wasn't allowed to audition for Friends, but he read the script for Friends and saw the character Chandler and immediately thought, this is me, I have to get this role and I can't let someone else do this role. I have to do it. I'll do anything to do it. And ended up being able to audition and you know, became what he became. I think it's really funny because he was like stuck on this weird sci-fi sitcom that no one's ever heard of or seen. I don't know if it even got picked up for a season. I think he was just contracted to be in the pilot. And then he ditched that and went to do Friends, which probably would have been the best decision of his life. Another thing about him that I didn't know is Matthew Perry was really good friends with Hank Azaria, who is one of the key voice actors in The Simpsons, who voices like Chief Wiggum, Lenny, Mo, all of those kind of like nasally voice characters. That's Hank Azaria. And never would have thought that. But yeah, Matthew Perry and Hank Azaria were friends from high school and were really good friends for most of their lives. And Hank Azaria did do a very like, you know, heartfelt message to respect his friend who passed away. But yeah, I mean, his legacy is certainly in Friends, and the heart of that show and the beauty of that show was just in those relationships and those characters that were all so beloved. And, you know, I even think in age, like I'm starting to relate more to Friends than Seinfeld. And while I always will love Seinfeld and I always have loved it and I've always found it hilarious, I just think Friends has so much more of this heart and this understanding of the realness that it is to be a human being, which is the antithesis of what Seinfeld was even trying to be. But, you know, the more I experience and the older I get, which is a lame thing to say, but like I do feel like I relate more to Friends because I see myself in a lot of the characters and the struggles they're going through and the relationships they're in and the jobs they're in and all of that. Like, oh yeah, I've been there. I've done this. Like, I get this. I feel this. And this is real. And it is really, really sad news. Like, especially knowing Matthew Perry's struggles with addictions. I was so devastated to see this because I think at the end of the book, he talked about how he'd been sober and had been really well. And Yeah, again, I'm not going to speculate on his death, but it was said that, you know, there weren't drugs found around the scene. But, yeah, it's a really sad story. And you know, if Friends meant something to you, write into the show this week. Let me know what Friends meant to you, what Matthew Perry meant to you as an actor, as Chandler. Just such an iconic character from such an iconic TV show. Will be missed. But, yeah, it's a shame. I did have one thing I really wanted to talk about on this episode. And for those of you who are not Blink-182 fans, I'm sure you are getting sick of me talking about Blink-182 on the podcast every week. But get over it, because it's my podcast and you don't actually have to listen. But please keep listening. This is going to be my last ditch attempt for this, because of course, in a few months, Blink-182 will be in Melbourne. They'll be in Australia. And they have said that they are doing very limited press for this album. The album's hit number one in America. That's a huge achievement for Blink-182, right? Hit number one this week. I want to interview Blink-182. It would be my dream. I would love to interview them. Blink-182, my name is Mike. I'm one of your biggest fans. I'm definitely one of your biggest fans in Australia. I was the first person in the world to do a video review on YouTube of your new album One More Time. I know everything about your band. I'm obsessed. And I really want to interview you. I have so many questions I want to ask you already about One More Time, about Neighborhoods, about your entire discography and everything around this new record. I would do anything to get an interview with you when you're here in Melbourne in February. I'll be here. I'm happy to do it via Zoom. I'm happy to come to you. I can supply all the gear. I can do whatever you want to interview you. But Blink-182, please make this guy's dream come true and let me interview you, even just for 10 minutes. I'll take 10. Please let me interview on my podcast. I would love to be the only Australian podcaster to do an interview with you. Don't go to all those radio stations who are just going to ask you the same old question, like, how do you pronounce it? Is it Blink-182 or Blink-182? Or what does the 182 stand for? Don't go to them. I will do like a legit interview about your music. I will do a Zane Lowe level interview about it. I know that's why you did go to Zane Lowe to do the interview that you did do with him, but I'll do another one. Please, Blink-182, I'll do anything. Please let me interview you. Mark, Tom, Travis, please. I will do anything. Now, on the off chance that Blink-182 hears that, you guys, please get around this. I might make it into a clip. Hopefully it goes viral, but please just tag Blink-182. It's like, Blink-182, do an interview with Mike. Please do an interview with Mike. Mike, share it around. Do whatever you can. I just want to interview, even if it's just Mark or just Tom or even just Travis, I will do it. Please, guys. I think it would be huge for the podcast. I seriously doubt it will happen, but it's worth a shot. Might as well. Shoot your shot while you can. Big announcement. Probably should have had a siren or an alarm lined up for this, but I have some big news in the money world. This is big. I wanted to formally announce on this podcast that I officially made money off of Bitcoin. Insert applause sound effect here. I never do. Long-term listeners will know I never do. So this is just a funny story that I've had in my mind for a while. Like years ago, when everyone was talking about Bitcoin, I bought like a tiny percent of a Bitcoin. And at the time, the value of one Bitcoin in Australian dollars was $48,000. And I bought like literally like less than a percent, less than 1% of a Bitcoin. Like maybe I put $1,000 in total into Bitcoin, right? And bought in at $48,000. This is years ago. Maybe pre-COVID, maybe post-COVID. I don't know. I've lost track of everything. And this was at the time where the price of Bitcoin was growing and growing by the day, right? So it went from $48,000 when I bought to it was December of whatever year it was. Bitcoin was worth 90,000 Australian dollars. And I remember at that point, I'm like, okay, I bought in at 48. It's now at 90. maybe I sell and just take the profits, right? Nearly doubled my money. That's pretty good return on investment. And I'm not much of a, I was never a crypto guy, but everyone was doing it at work. And I get really, if everyone's doing something and I'm not, I feel really left out. So I like have to do it. I have to get Bitcoin. Everyone's talking about it. I just have to put some money into it. So at least I'm in the conversation. It was at 90K. I could have nearly doubled my money, right? Anyway, so think about that. From 48K to 90K. So basically for every $48 I spent, I got $90 in return. Or like you can definitely simplify that fraction more for math nerds. So for every $24, I got $45. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, right? I didn't sell because my friend from work, Darcy, who was also investing in Bitcoin, who put a lot more money in it than me, I said to Darcy, hey, we're at 90. Are you going to sell? He's like, no, I'm not selling. They're saying it's going to go up to 120 by January, which is a month away. And I heard that. And I had no reason not to trust Darcy. Why would I not trust Darcy? Like, he's a trustworthy guy. So I go, really? He goes, yeah, man, don't sell. You'd be stupid to sell. I'm like, no worry. I'm not going to sell. If you're not selling, I'm not selling. So I don't sell. Within 2 weeks, Bitcoin was at $13,000. So I had lost more than half of my money. At this point, I had no one to blame but myself, my old impressionable self. And at this point, I was just like, God damn it. I could have doubled my money, but I chose not to sell at that time. Anyway, I didn't think about Bitcoin. I just accepted that I had lost the money. I cut my losses, which is a good thing to be able to do. Cut my losses, and I said, you know what? I've lost the money. It's probably never going to come back up. I just have to accept that I've lost it. Probably like a year and a half or more since I even thought about Bitcoin. And the other day I just do a search on Google because I was like, I haven't checked Bitcoin in so long. I type in Bitcoin in AUD right now. It's back to 55K. And at this point, my mind does two things instantaneously. First half of my mind goes, well, if it's gone up to 55K, maybe it'll keep going up and it'll get back to 90K and then you'll get what you were originally going to sell for. And then my brain goes immediately, no, Mike, do not do that. That's the kind of thinking that got you into this mess. Sell your Bitcoin right now and take the very little profit that you've got. So yesterday I officially logged into my crypto account and I sold all of my holdings in Bitcoin, making a very small amount of profit, an extremely small amount of profit that, to be honest, will probably now go into the kitty to pay for the Radio Mike Productions Christmas party, which is just me taking Pat out to dinner at a restaurant near my house. So there you go, Pat. We've officially paid for the Christmas party using crypto I bought in 2019. Hope you're happy. Does not account for my heaps of money I put into Ethereum and Ripple many, many years ago that I have also lost money on. So those are not coming back up. I've definitely lost on those. But I did want to celebrate the small wins with my successful selling of my Bitcoin. That's good. One thing has been on my mind for a while, and I actually for a bit thought about not doing this year, because the paradox of this next segment is that by doing this segment, you were inadvertently breaking the first rule of the segment. But it has come to my attention that I do indeed need to do this next segment because they are coming in thick and fast. And this segment, we do it every year, and it's called this.
We wish you a merry Gnomus, we wish you a merry Gnomus, we wish you a merry Gnomus, it's the middle of the year.
It is Gnomus season, and this is peak Gnomus. October 31st is probably the peakest of peak Gnomus. And don't think, okay, for those who are new to the show, welcome. We do this every year. Gnomus is my belief, and I've done a clip about this before, but I'm going to do it again. I say this every year. Christmas should not be celebrated until at the very latest December 1st. Christmas should not enter your mind until December 1st. If I come to your house in November, I don't care if it's the 31st of November. I don't care if it's the 1st of November. I don't care if it's the 1st of November. If I see a centimeter of tinsel in your house, I'm leaving immediately. Don't even get me started on a Christmas tree. If you have a Christmas tree up in your house right now in November, I hate you. I don't want anything to do with you. Get out of my life. Okay? And I say it every year. It's like that guy says in The Incredibles about superpowers. If everyone has superpowers, no one has superpowers. It's the same with Christmas. If every day is Christmas, no day is Christmas. The earlier you celebrate Christmas, the less special Christmas becomes at the time. Okay? And Oh man. And people, I've seen the slander. I've seen people calling me a Grinch. I'm not a Grinch. I love Christmas. Again, rewind the podcast a year. I did this exact same rave last year, but I have to bring it out again. Okay? The reason I have to bring it out again is because of all of you people who have been tagging me in Christmas-related stuff. Stores, department stores, restaurants, cafes, right? Most recently from Radio Tim DeBella. Sent me some pictures of Christmas decorations up in his house. He's a Christmas fan. He loves Christmas. He has no respect for Gnomus. He said, "Hope you had a nice holiday. My Christmas decorations are out already." Now, I want to pose a question to you. Because, you know, people were sending this to me literally when I was still on my holiday. I was on my holiday in September. September, everyone. You heard that right. Okay. Fuck. Okay. I was on my holiday. I was in Spain. I'm like, oh, bloody love. Let's go into some of the shops in Spain. Let's look at the Spanish shops. We walk into some shops, Christmas stuff. Everywhere in September. I'm like, what? Why would we have anything Christmas related up in September? I'm on my holiday. I don't want to think about Christmas right now. I don't want to, all I want to think about is being on my holiday, not fucking Christmas. Send them in. Name and shame any business who has Christmas up, because I guarantee you, I'm recording this on the 31st of October. Tomorrow, the Halloween decorations come down in all the stores and everyone gears up for Christmas. It's the 1st of November. No, there's still another month before you do that. I don't want to hear a Christmas carol. I do not want to hear a single Christmas carol before December 1st. I personally wait till December 15th because my birthday is December 12th, right? I do a 10-day run thinking about Christmas. No more, no less. You don't need any more, okay? It is just absolutely bizarre that people could think this way. Gnomus is it's officially Gnomus season. I want a name and shame. I don't want to even hear the word Christmas. We need to have a code word for Christmas. I'm not a Grinch, by the way. And Tim DeBella, who last year every week would send me Christmas related things because he's obsessed with Christmas. I was saying I'm not even going to put a Christmas tree up this year at all, right? Here's a deal. If we get Gnomus right this year, I'll put a Christmas tree up on December 1st and it'll be in the back of the podcast video. You'll see it. Okay? That's the deal. If we get Gnomus right, name and shame, and I do not want to even think about Christmas. That's all on that. That's all we can do. I was speaking about how Dave Lee, friend of the show, wrote in and said, oh, you know, watching movies on the plane. I actually did get a lot of movie watching done on planes throughout my trip. There was a lot of planes, trains, you know, lots of transit, as you might expect. These are all the movies I actually watched. This is a quick snapshot of every movie I think I watched in transit. The Flash, the new one, actually thought it was quite good. A lot of people thought it was terrible. I actually quite enjoyed it. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, overrated. Talk to Me, the new horror movie from A24 and the Raka Raka guys. Okay, quick side note on that. Talk to Me is one of the best new horror movies I've ever seen. It is such a good concept. It's so well directed, so well performed. The Raka Raka brothers did such a good job with it. I do want to highlight this amazing scene in Talk to Me, which if you haven't seen it, go see it. Even if you hate horror, see it. No, because you'll be so scared. It's quite scary. But this movie, Talk to Me, the song in Talk to Me is trending and like going viral. And I gotta say, it's an absolute banger. It's in like this party scene, but it's such a great, it's just such a like instant iconic horror theme. And like, you know, I think if you've seen the movie, the scene that this is from, yeah, it's a party kind of scene where there's like, basically the movie is there's this hand, and if you grab the hand and say, talk to the hand, you kind of get possessed for a second and everyone's doing it. And it's sort of like they're on drugs. Like it's kind of like the way they're responding when they're possessed is like sort of like they're on drugs, right? And just such a great scene where it's so perfectly timed to the music, like the cuts and everything, like the editing, the directing, everything about it works so well. And it's cool because it has like the, like even at that bit, the do-do-do-do-do, it has sort of like the elements of like horror-esque instruments, like those old strings and stuff and creepiness of it, but it's still got that suaveness and coolness and I don't know, modernness of a modern song. Like it feels very modern, but it also has that creepy, it has those creepy elements. It evokes those feelings of old horror movies. I think this movie did everything right. I loved it so much and it was really scary, but and the Raka Raka, Danny and Mikey, Michael Philippou, who were just on the Joe Rogan podcast. I saw a few clips and they were talking about how they had like, they premiered it at Sundance, which is this big film festival. And then A24, which is an incredible independent film studio who's done movies like Hereditary, Midsommar, like heap, a lot of indie films now. I think Everything Everywhere All at Once was even A24. They were talking about that and how they didn't cast a name actor in the lead. So they slashed their budget by like $1 million because they didn't have enough, because there wasn't enough, you know, clout in the main actor to guarantee ticket sales, I suppose was their rationale. But it's just such a fantastic watch, everything about it. And you can tell if you've watched their videos on YouTube over the years, you can tell how much thought and effort they put into them, even though they were always a bit goofy. Like they definitely make good films. I did see that they're doing a sequel. Like it says, they're like, oh, we've got plans to do a sequel. Talk to Me too. I think the thing with horror movies is they're such an easy copy paste job from one movie to another, right? Like as in from in a franchise, like Friday the 13th, the first Friday the 13th is a fantastic slasher film. Go watch it. Then they did like 8 more, you know, and it's the same movie every time with slight variations. Same with Halloween, similar with Saw, you know, and then they try to reboot them and reinvent themselves and they're kind of like mildly successful. I'm worried about them franchising it. I'd much rather as directors and film auteurs like the Philippou brothers just do another concept for a horror film. I would rather than just like, I hope they just don't try to franchise this movie and keep making them because they get progressively shitter each time, essentially. So I'd rather see them do something unique, but they might have a unique spin on it. That's not even what I really wanted to talk about. Let's keep going through this list. I watched Black Panther 2, which I hadn't seen, thought it was terrible. I watched the new Ninja Turtles movie, which I thought was all right. Then I watched some dumb movies. I watched this movie called Legion, which is where Paul Bettany plays Gabriel, I think, the angel from the Bible. That was stupid. Then I watched Love at First Sight, this new Netflix rom-com with the girl from White Lotus season two, who I have a crush on. A documentary about Liam Gallagher. I watched Back to the Future. I watched Slender Man, which was terrible. Then I watched Hellboy, the original Hellboy from like 2004. And then I watched this movie called Split. Also, I guess a horror kind of psychological thriller movie. But if you haven't seen Split, it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie, which, you know, you've probably heard of The Sixth Sense, maybe Unbreakable. He did Avatar The Last Airbender. Knock at the Cabin, I think, is his most recent one. He did Old, that movie where there's the beach where everyone gets old. Famous for, like, his twists. And I'm going to spoil something major about Split, but I think it's common knowledge now, but at the time it wasn't, because I think this is really interesting. Split came out, I think, in 2015. Now, in, I think, 2000 or 1999, M. Night Shyamalan did this film called Unbreakable. Bruce Willis was the star. It was a great movie. It's a superhero movie, really, but it's not what superhero movies are now, like the big sort of like, you know, over the top and just franchise, you know, cash grab kind of ones. It was just like it was a really good film about a guy who was a superhero, right? Go and watch it. It's great. Anyway, so I watched Unbreakable ages ago. I actually knew this, what I'm about to tell you, I actually already knew, but I think it's just an interesting thing to talk about. I watched Unbreakable, and then on the plane, I watched Split. Split by M. Night Shyamalan was Hollywood's first ever stealth sequel. Basically, you find out at the end of the movie that it's essentially a sequel to Unbreakable, or at least it's in the same universe as Unbreakable, a movie that came out 15 years before. And the reason they call it a stealth sequel is because it wasn't marketed as such. It was just marketed as its own movie, but you find out at the end that it's a sequel to Unbreakable, or that, like, basically at the end of the movie, the guy from Unbreakable that Bruce Willis plays appears, and you're like, oh, what? And then they did another movie called Glass after that, which brought all of the characters from both movies together. Incredibly underrated trilogy, because I think Unbreakable as its own standalone film is great. I also thought Split as its own standalone film was great. And then Glass brings it together. And that one got mixed reviews from what I could tell, but I actually thought it was awesome. And Samuel L. Jackson's in it. Like, it, and so basically Split is about this guy who has, I think, 20 different personalities. That's why it's called Split. Like, he goes into different characters, and annoyingly, I've forgotten who the main actor is who plays him, but he's like this, one of the personalities is like a psychopathic killer. One of them's like a 10-year-old boy. One's a woman. One's just him. You know, there's all these different personalities he goes in and out of. And like, he kidnaps a bunch of girls and he's going to like, and murders them essentially. And basically in Glass, like, Glass has another twist at the end of that that's also really, really good. But in Glass, they're all together. And it just, I don't know. I just think they definitely flew under the radar a bit. Like, I don't think many people have seen Unbreakable, but I honestly think it's like one of the best. It's such a good movie. And Split, like, I recommend watching the whole trilogy. Such an underrated movie trilogy. And I think the idea of a stealth sequel is so interesting, because I do think, like, I don't think I can think of any other example of like a surprise, like, ah, oh, surprise, this is in that universe. Because now, particularly in like movies and marketing and everything, it's all about universes. Like, everything's a universe. So you, of course, lean into that for the marketing. It's like, ah, oh, come and see this movie, because this guy from this other movie is going to be in it. Or, like, you know, the Marvel's in it. All the Marvel characters are in this one, right? But to do that and to not leverage that and to make it a surprise for your hardcore fans, like, I think that's just such a clever thing to do. And it's such a, like, not even like that risky. It's just like such a bold thing to do, to be like, hey, by the way, this is a sequel to like a movie I made 15 years ago that I haven't really talked about for a while. I just think it's really cool. And I loved both. That was definitely the best movie I watched on the plane from years ago. Anyway, we will wrap it up. Let me know your thoughts on anything. And what should this week's poll be? Oh, the poll will be, what have I talked about? There's polls on every episode on Spotify now. Let's do for the poll, do you agree with Gnomus? Yes or no? Vote. And also respond in the Spotify comments. Let's do this.
The plug.
I plugged Patreon at the top. There's Pat and Mike episodes are back. There's such a huge back catalogue of content up there. Or make a one-off donation, paypal.me/itsradiomike. I'm looking at starting Spotify memberships as well, so you can get the Pat and Mike show directly in Spotify. So look out for that. I'll have more info on that soon. Here's a tease from last week's Pat and Mike show. Did you know that Paul McCartney has an album called Kisses on the Bottom? It's such a polite way of saying it. Like, oh, hello, darling. Can I kiss you on the bottom? Do you reckon Kisses on the Bottom, the album, is just a lot of like... Imagine if Paul McCartney did a whole album of kissing sounds and farts. All right, this one's a new song. This one's called Kiss Your Bum and Fart. That was a really fun chat. As well as that, Harry Potter and the Boys each week as well. So definitely, you know, go and give that a listen. And I also wanted to plug my rap that I did, my rap apology I did on the Hamish and Andy podcast a few weeks ago because I was away at the time, didn't get to talk about it. It was really fun. I'm thinking of putting it on Spotify. I wanted to play it for you to see out the show. So maybe this week, instead of doing the normal show outro, I just finish with my Hamish and Andy rap song. So let's do that. My name's been Radio Mike. This has been The Inside of My Mind. Take a listen to this bad boy. Because I feel like a monster, because everyone knows what a neutron is, but to Andy I didn't deliver. And now I'm asking, could you please forgive her the fake news I provided like I'm on Twitter? Got a shock when I logged on. I'm seeing emails saying proton, neutron, electron. Started making me think, what the hecktron? I made Andy look like a freaking moron. You waited so long for Mike to weigh in. Got all the listeners exasperating. To hear a song where I take all the blaming. Finally put an end to all the Andy hating. Hey Hamish, you concentrating? Don't peter out while I'm here narrating a classic story of my educating, where science was a subject I was definitely failing. So here's my apology about subatomic particles and Andy Lee. I'm not my boy Jimmy Neutron, I'm just me. Here's the chorus now, 1, 2, 3. Now yes, that was a job for me on Andy's pod with Hamish B, and it's caused a little controversy. So this is my apology. I said yes, that was a job for me. I take all responsibility, and please take this as my decree. No more mistakes, cause I'm sorry. I'll be honest, now I'm feeling rebellious. I'm embarrassed, I promise, but let me dispel this other mistake, so please let me tell this before we start a hunt where everybody yells
witch!
Just recently in the Pizza Lotto prank call, Hamish decided that he wasn't gonna play ball, despite the fact that we nailed it in rehearsal, and then it came to it and Hamish nearly spoiled it all. And Jack is not safe from me, making errors every week in his hobby. And Darcy's like, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Cartier's errors out to stop him ever looking dumber. And right now, well, it just seems everybody wants to point the finger at me. But I think they should point it at we, as in this podcast we make each week. And I think you'll all agree there's just one man within this team whose record is completely clean. And that man's name is Andy Lee.
This podcast was a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to check out all our other content. Stay up to date at radio.mike on Instagram and get in touch, radiomikepod@gmail.com.